Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable. You know, you are not the one with the problem. We normally do book picks on Tuesday. Today, we're doing them on Friday. The reason we are all messed up with the impeachment schedule and things have been, switched around. So we definitely wanted to do it this week. So we're doing it right now. This is the time that we have. We are even more excited because we get to do it with our good friend Matt Tannenbaum. Matt is the proprietor of the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts, here with this week's book picks, and we couldn't be more thrilled. Matt, welcome. How are you?
Hi, Joe. Nice to hear you. Nice to be with you. It's a busy week you people have got going there.
Oh, there's impeachments and there's a pandemic and there's just all kinds of things going on. And sometimes
it's Valentine's Day.
Yes, it's Valentine's Day on Sunday and all kinds of stuff going on. And Monday is a holiday. We'll be here, but Monday's a holiday. And the roundtable will be here from 9 to 11. And but there's still a lot moving on. So we indeed will do book picks today instead. And I thank you very much for carving out time in your schedule. So where would you like to begin?
Absolutely. I want to begin by issuing a Valentine's Day greeting, which is a book is a love letter. A book is a letter to someone you love who wasn't there. Dear reader, this is what I'm going to tell you today. And that's the way I've always thought of books. And I think it's a lovely sentiment. I hope that you agree.
I do agree. Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely agree. And it's a wonderful gift, a wonderful way of saying I love you. Absolutely.
And the other thing I wanted to preface today by saying that in all the books that I have 7 books today, and I got to do them kind of quickly.
You may not have 7, but go ahead.
In every one, the writer is following the character. The writer is almost not helpless, but the writer is the character tells the story. Whether it's Land by Simon Winchester and the land tells the story, or it's the biography of Louise Fitzhugh and the subject tells the story, or the Superhost by Kate Russo. It's the characters who tell the story, and the writer has nowhere to go except to follow what the characters tell him to do. And it's just a wonderful thing to read what these very creative writers have come up with. I want to start with Land by Simon Winchester.
Oh,
Simon
our
Winchester
dear friend. Yeah.
Has he been on the show? Have you talked about this book yet?
Oh, yeah. Simon's been affiliated with the station for years and years and years. And he was on when he was working on an early piece. And he is on for the book show for this as well. And we just love him. And it's an amazing book. And I'll let you explain it.
Yeah, he starts off by telling the story of how he first owned his own piece of land. And, it's just a charming story. And then he tells the story of his ancestors who didn't own land back in England. And he tells the story of deeds in England, land deeds in England. And he tells the stories of let's say, walking his own piece of property and discovering where does land come from? How is land measured? How do we take care of it? How do we share it? How do we fight over it? And then, of course, he brings up one of my favorite stories, the Tolstoy story called, should I mention the title? How Much Land Does a Man Need?
Yeah.
And which is a great story, and Simon adds his own twist to it, own touch to it. So it's Land by Simon Winchester, and the subtitle is How the Hunger for Ownership Shaped the Modern World.
It's just terrific. It's such a beautiful piece of work, and it's so broad and detailed, and he takes on these major subjects, whether he's talking about the oceans or whatever it is that he's tackling, and makes
right.
it very readable and very relatable, and it's just beautiful stuff. The new book is Land.
Well, he did the 2 books on the oceans, Atlantic and Pacific, and now he's doing Land, and of course, land might be disappearing.
Well, that's right, and that's how he ends it, right? Of talking about what is the future of land. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, Land by Simon Winchester. Next up.
The next one is The Good American by Robert Kaplan. The Good American, the epic life of Bob Gersony, the U.S. government's greatest humanitarian. Kaplan, also a Berkshire writer, he's written close to 24 books. One of his most recent was Earning the Rockies, How Geography Shapes America's Role in the World. And my favorite, Mediterranean Winter, The Pleasures of History and Landscape. And he writes about this fellow, Bob Gersony, who he has met over the years as a journalist. And Gersony has been a consultant to the U.S. government, to the State Department. Do you know about this book at all, Joe?
I do. And in fact, Bob has been on the show, or will be on the show. I don't remember whether we've aired it or not. I don't think we have. But it's Bob Gersony, actually. Thank you. It's no big deal. I'd ask him. But the fact is that I said to him, I said to Bob, look, I feel really embarrassed because I don't know this guy. And he goes, oh, no, you're not supposed to. And then I felt better. But he's one of our greatest humanitarians, and it's a fascinating story.
And he came to this work because he understood that the government policy was just abstract political theory, and it wasn't working. It wasn't working in Vietnam with the French. He read Bernard Fall's book when he was there as a soldier in the Vietnam War, and it wasn't working for the Americans. And now, so then he goes and travels the world, and he's like, Kaplan call him? The ultimate field worker.
Right.
And he goes, and he saves countless thousands of lives because of his reports back to the U.S. State Department to say, listen, we can do something here. We can help. Or in some cases, no, we can't help, and don't do this, because if we do, that'll be a tragedy. So, yeah, he's this great humanitarian.
And he was so hands-on that Bob Kaplan tells the story in the book that Bob Gersony would give these briefings, and he would go in, and they would go on for hours and hours and hours, but they were filled with such detail that people couldn't even say no because he had so much information at his fingertips.
Right. He should be testifying in the Senate today, right?
Yeah. We'll spare the poor man that after a wonderful career, but go ahead.
Okay. Then now I have a couple of biographies here. Leslie Brody has written a book called Sometimes You Have to Lie, The Life and Times of Louise Fitzhugh, renegade author of Harriet the Spy. What do you know about this book, Joe?
I don't know anything about this book, although I, of course, like many kids of my generation, grew up with Harriet the Spy.
Yeah, she came along after I was a kid, so I never read her. I never read the book until about 2 weeks ago when I was in the middle of this biography. Louise Fitzhugh was the daughter of a Memphis socialite couple who divorced in a splashy divorce trial in Memphis, Tennessee in the 30s, came of age in the 40s, 50s, left the South. In one of her instructions in her will, she says, do not bury me south of the Mason-Dixon line. And she came to New York, got involved with the writers and artist communities in New York, with the lesbian community in Greenwich Village, spent time in Europe, was a painter, was an illustrator. I first came across her in an old book called Suzuki Bean that she illustrated. It was about a beatnik child, published in the early 60s. And then Harriet the Spy came along 3 years later, her first book herself, and then she wrote two others. Sequels, and then a third or a fourth book, I should say, that did not get a good review. And I don't want to give away too much in the book. It did her in.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to lie. Of course, is a line from Harriet the Spy that I didn't realize until I read the book.
It's there was The Long Secret that came, I think, a year or two after Harriet the Spy,
right.
And then much much later was Sport. Right.
Sport. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't know if Sport's available. I've been trying to get a hold of a copy. Oh, that's did you read that one too?
I at the time I did, but sure. Yeah, I mean, I would have been older then, but yeah. That's great stuff. That sounds fascinating. Louise Fitzhugh. Very cool. Next up.
Very great stuff. And then one more in the nonfiction, and I just started reading this one. I'm about halfway through. It came out last June, but I just found out about it, called The Last Kings of Shanghai by Jonathan Kaufman. The subtitle is The Rival Jewish Dynasties That Helped Create Modern China. What?
Yeah. Well, tell us more.
The Sassoons and the Kadouris, two Jewish families from Baghdad, from Iraq in the mid-19th century, where they had entrees to government, and then governments changed and they got chased out. The Sassoons went to India first, and then they went to Shanghai, and they became these modern capitalists with the backing of the British government. And I didn't know about the Opium Wars. I'd heard about the Opium Wars, and I didn't know that Shanghai was this international city that these two families, the Sassoons and their distant cousins, the Kadouris, they were friends, then they were rivals, and they were friends. They helped each other out. The Japanese, with the influence of the Jewish families, saved countless thousands of Jewish lives. Refugees from Germany came to Shanghai. This is untold, unknown stories by me. I'm halfway through the book, and I'm just loving it.
That's
coming
excellent.
Out in paperback next June, but we do have copies of it in hardcover now.
And the name of the book again?
The Last Kings of Shanghai.
All right. We have 5 minutes. 4 minutes, actually, but go ahead.
Okay. Sergeant Salinger by Jerome Sharon, a historical novel based on the life of J.D. Salinger as a soldier in World War II. He was in counterintelligence. He was a second wave of D-Day. He met Hemingway in Paris, his literary hero. He was one of the. He helped liberate one of the death camps. He had a nervous breakdown. He came back to America with a German wife, and that marriage fell apart. And then he became the writer who wrote the Glass Family stories and the Catcher in the Rye. Of course, Catcher in the Rye is a manuscript he was carrying around with him all during the war. Incredible. But this is a historical novel that gives you a perspective of who Salinger was and how he came to write the stories that he wrote in the 50s.
Jerome Sharon is very good, very very
Jerome Sharon, great
prolific and
writer.
very good fiction writer. Yes.
Superhost Kate Russo. This book was supposed to have come out last March, and it just came. And I remember getting an advance copy then at the very beginning of the pandemic, sitting at home and reading this lovely book about a. Kate Russo is Richard Russo's daughter, and this is like reading an early Richard Russo book. The wit, the humor, the sardonic take on life. It's about a British artist, midlife crisis, divorced. His gallery won't sell his work anymore, and he has this big house in West London that he rents out as an Airbnb, and his adventures. Kate Russo rented was the manager of their family house years ago in Maine that was they made into an Airbnb. So she has that experience. And she's also an artist living half the year in London, or I'm not sure where she is right now. So you have the both takes on the art and the writing, and it's just a delightful book.
That's great.
Superhost.
Yes, Superhost.
And the last one I have for you today is just my favorite new book, Better Luck Next Time by Julia Johnson. Julia Johnson, her first book came out a couple of years ago called Be Frank With Me. This, Better Luck Next Time, is the story of a ranch in Reno, Nevada in 1938 that serves as the place where women come to take up a six-week residency before they get their Reno divorces. And there are all these characters in this book are wealthy women. And it's narrated by an old man who was once a young cowboy working on the ranch. Better Luck Next Time is what the judge said to each of these women after he banged the gavel and issued the divorce decree. Better luck next time. it's one of the funniest books, and as one of the blurbs indicated, you know, she'll make you laugh and laugh and laugh, and at the same time, you don't realize she's going to break your heart.
Well, we are out of time, and we're up against the clock here, but I want to thank you so much. It's a great, great list. You can find out more. We have the list posted on our website, wamc.org. Please visit Matt at the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts. He is a very welcoming host, and Matt, I thank you very much for being with us as always.
Thanks, Joe. I'll see you next time.
Be well. Have a beautiful weekend. Thank you very much. We'll return after this short break.